Welcome to Point of View. I'm your host, Chandra Ligonfalvi. Today, we'll have a 30-minute broadcast which covers a wide array of topics. Our program is a current affairs broadcast about student politics both at Brock University and at other universities and in a wider economic and political context in Southern Ontario and Canada. If you have any questions or comments for the broadcast, you can reach us at povradiobrock@gmail.com or on Facebook at povradio. Off the top of the program, we have announcements for Brock University Student Politics and Governance. The first general meeting of the membership of BUSU has been announced for October 8th. All undergraduates are members of Brock University Students Union, and the purpose of the general meeting is outlined in Article 8 of the BUSU Constitution. The general meeting is a built-in method for direct democracy. Meetings that achieve quorum, which is attendance equaling 2% of the full-time enrolled undergraduate population, would then become a powerful political entity. Subsection 3 of Section 8 of the BUSU Constitution says, such a meeting may, upon approval by a majority of the members of the corporation present, make recommendations, policies, amendments, or bylaws that are binding to the corporation, the board, and the Brock University Student Administrative Council. The BUSU Constitution specifies, quote, notice shall be given by posting notices, which clearly states the time, place, and purpose of the meetings in prominent places throughout the Brock University buildings and grounds, including Brock University-related media outlets, whenever possible. The location of the general meeting has not yet been announced. In the past, the general meeting has not been well attended by the general population of Brock undergraduates. As covered in previous broadcasts, at least three referendums are coming to Brock undergraduates voters in October. Voting will take place between October 29th and 31st, and will also include by-elections for BUSAC positions. Nomination packages are due to the Government Operations Manager on September 25th. The referendum questions are, in no particular order, to fund the artificial turf facility or not, to approve the constitutional amendment to increase quorum from 2% to 7% or not, 3, to continue funding for the Student Justice Center at 85 cents per credit or not. The artificial turf facility referendum will ask questions to scoop $2,000 per year for 5 years out of the Strategic Expansion Fund to help Brock University build an artificial turf facility. Currently, the Strategic Expansion Fund is a $7 per credit fund, which generates about $500,000 per year. So this represents a 2/5 of the yearly Strategic Expansion Fund line item. The Memorandum of Understanding promises to have a complete feasibility plan by November 30th, 2013, which is 1 month after voting. It includes a provision which says that if Brock University does not break ground on the project before April of 2014, that the contribution will become unavailable and will necessitate a supplementary referendum to be taken from the Strategic Expansion Fund. The constitutional amendment would increase the petition quorum from 2% of full-time enrolled students to 7%. This would also remove the Vice President of University Affairs and roll that Vice President portfolio into the new Vice President of External Affairs, which was created by referendum last year. That referendum also includes increasing the referendum quorum, increasing it from 10% to 14%. Also on the ballot will be a question to continue funding or not for the Student Justice Center. Students will have until September 25th to submit their nominations for BUSAC by-elections. All three referendums have yes campaigns, but it's too soon for there to be any no campaign. Undergraduates can sign up with the Government Operations Manager starting in mid-October. If you have any questions or comments for the broadcast, you can reach us at povradiobrock@gmail.com or on facebook.com/povradio. Here on Point of View, we've been following the Brock President's Task Force, which has received respectful but pointed disagreement from the University Faculty Association, as they say we have serious concerns with the legitimacy of the President's Task Force, quote. We interviewed the President of BUFA, Dr. Linda Rose Krasner, and she had this to say about the President's Task Force.
What we see as a question of the legitimacy of the committee itself, and that has two parts. One is that we believe the committee is infringing on Senate's legislative responsibility to do the academic review of programs. And the second part of the legitimacy issue is the structure and composition of the committee itself.
We also had a conversation with Brock University Provost and Vice President Academic Dr. Murray Knudla, who defended the task force.
A couple things I'd say. First of all, the chair of Senate is on the task force. The chair of Senate is a passionate defender of the rights and responsibilities of Senate, first of all. Secondly, every member of the task force, and there that the majority of the membership are academics, right? Every member of the task force understands that any decisions that will be made based on the analysis provided by the task force must and will go through the normal Senate procedures.
On September 18th, there was a motion on the table at Senate to stop the task force and remove the academic aspect of it. The motion, which is moved by Miriam, states that Senate respectfully requests that the president direct the members of the president's special task force to stop the review and prioritization of academic programs. And that a second motion, that Senate respectfully requests that the president refer any matters concerning the review and or prioritization of academic programs to Senate for its consideration, decision, and conduct. And we're getting news now from a source inside of Senate that the task force is no longer in charge of reviewing academic programs. Coming from this source, the problem with this is that the ARC slash the Senate has not been doing proper academic reviews in years. He says that one senator said over 20 years. Last week, I was invited to attend a meeting with Brock University Provost of Student Services, Kim Mead, to discuss the student life fee. The content of the conversation included a summary of ways that the administration is implementing the $1.5 million budget. The student life fee is a $20 per credit mandatory non-tuition ancillary fee, which was passed in a contentious referendum in March 2013, with 54% of 4,060 votes voting in favor of the fee. At the time, I was part of the No campaign for the student life fee. After hearing from the administration about the ways that they say they will spend the money, it was given the opportunity to directly confront some of the fundamental questions I had at the time. We talked about some of this in a conversation we had with BUSAC Councillor Tyler Evans in a previous episode of our broadcast.
You know, in my opinion, and all rumors aside, I just feel that that was not the right thing to, you know, the way it was handled was not the right thing to do. There's a lot of contention concerning this fee, not only because it's going to represent for many students, you know, a $100 increase in their tuition, but also the fact that many students are having a serious case of buyer's remorse. They were sold one thing and they were given the old switcheroo and then told about the consequences later. And I'm sorry, yes, caveat emptor, but the reality is as a student union, we should have been more discerning about this.
A petition is now circulating around campus to bring the student life fee question back to referendum. An individual named Anthony Deeb has created a Facebook event page to promote this. He says he started a petition that needs to be submitted by September 19th. It is to re-ask the question about the student life fee. He needs 2% of the petition, 2% of the undergraduates to achieve this. We are going to have an in-depth report and investigation into the student life fee. It's too complex for us to cover in this episode, and we're going to get into it more later. Last week, Brock University Student Radio held its monthly collective meeting. At this meeting, we met with Brock Radio's new spoken word development coordinator, Mike Saunders. His program airs on CFBU 103.7 Wednesday mornings. In other news in student media, the Canadian University Press is losing membership from one of its Canadian student newspapers. According to universityaffairs.ca, author Kim Bouchard writes, quote, "The global economic woes affecting daily newspapers are also hitting the student press in Canada. In early September, editors of UBC, the University of British Columbia, announced that they were following the lead of several other student newspapers by quitting the news-gathering cooperative Canadian University Press. During the summer, UBC's editor board decided that the paper's bottom line could no longer afford the membership fees for CUP, despite the fact that the paper was one of CUP's founders back in 1938. Quote, "It's economic. Our fee last year was $7,000, and that's a significant chunk," said Jeff Lister, the paper's coordinating editor. CUP fees are indexed according to the size of the university paper, which Mr. Lister pointed out meant his paper was paying 20 times more than some of the smaller student newspapers to belong to CUP. End quote. Other large newspapers have also canceled their CUP membership. According to universityaffairs.ca, there is a major financial crunch and we had to cut budgets, said Josh Oliver, editor-in-chief at the Varsity of University in Toronto, who points out that student papers face the same problems as newspapers in the larger newspapers in the industry. Universityaffairs.ca reports that there's the creation of a new group dubbed the National University Wire, composed of the UBC, McGill Daily, the Varsity, the Gazette at Western University, Dalhousie Gazette, the Marlette at University of Victoria, and so forth, that the NUW was chosen because the group needed a tagline to meet the rules of crediting stories they use from other publications, but said it was not meant to be a replacement from the CUP Wire service. And that report is from universityaffairs.ca. Also in national student political news, shockwaves went around the country as a chant which spelled out the words YOUNG, Y-O-U-N-G, and included N is for no consent in the acronym. A YouTube video was uploaded from St. Mary's University which showed as many as 50 students chanting together. Due to the outrage, the student council resigned at the SMU. President was directed to directed the students to attend sensitivity training. Media reports said that this chant was used for 5 years, and in a surprising twist, the same chant was revealed to also be being used at a campus in British Columbia, nearly 4,000 kilometers away. The Center for Policy Alternatives releases a 42-page report titled Degrees of Uncertainty, Navigating the Changing Terrain of University Finance. CCPA's press release says that the average cost of tuition and compulsory fees for Canadian undergraduate students will rise by almost 13% over the next 4 years. The CCPA press release says that the study looks at the trends in tuition and compulsory fees in Canada since 1990, and according to the research, average tuition and compulsory fees in Canada have tripled since 1990, even after inflation is taken into account. They note that Ontario is the province with the highest fees. Degrees of Uncertainty, Navigating the Changing Terrain of University Finance, is available on the CCPA website at policyalternatives.ca. We're joined now on the show by Vice President of University Affairs, Roland Ehrman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
And you're the Vice President of University Affairs, an elected position. So can you tell me, what is the Vice President of University Affairs?
Yeah.
And tell me a bit about your portfolio.
Yeah, no problem. The Vice President of University Affairs, basically what I do is I advocate on behalf of student needs and issues provincially and federally. So my groups are a part of USA, the Ontario Undergraduate Student Alliance, as well as CASA, the Canadian Alliance of Student Associations. So we do lots of work there, but as well, I have plenty of work to do on campus and internally. I am a voting member of Brock's University Senate, which is comprised of Brock faculty and Brock administration. As well within Senate, I sit on a number of different committees. So I sit on the Senate Governance Committee, which oversees Senate, as well as the Undergraduate Program Committee and the Undergraduate Student Affairs Committee. And then last year, I was elected for a two-year term to be the student representative on the Board of Trustees. So I sit on the Executive Committee there. I help oversee the university expenditure budget of $284 million. So it can be a pretty big commitment.
You're writing a paper about the ancillary fees in Ontario. So what is the premise of that? What are non-tuition related ancillary fees, and what will your focus be in this research paper?
Yeah, to speak very basically, some time ago, I believe in 1994, it was passed that no ancillary fees, no extra fees for students are allowed as if they cover anything that education is supposed to cover. So hypothetically speaking, if I run the Roland Ehrman referendum or I have the Roland Ehrman ancillary fee and it's $10 and that goes directly towards education, well, that shouldn't exist because, really speaking, you're already paying tuition and that should be covering your education. So what I'm doing right now is what the paper is going to serve is there's ancillary fees that cover all sorts of different aspects in all the different universities in Ontario. I'm going to be looking at, I'm going to be making kind of policing those ancillary fees. No one's really set in place to specifically look at school by school by school and ancillary fee by ancillary fee. So the paper is really meant to look at all the ancillary fees that each university has and ensure that they're there for the right purposes and they're not covering education.
And here at Brock, there's a new referendum implementation review committee. Does that mean that there's some policing going on for the referendums and ancillary fees here on Brock campus?
Absolutely, there will be. You look at the student life fee, it was a debated issue where there were students that were for it and there were students that are against it. And every year, too, there are different referendums that could get proposed that we'll need some strong review. So what we've done is within BUSAC, our student council, is we're going to have a referendum review and implementation committee. So hypothetically speaking, say, again, I want to run the Roland Ehrman referendum fee, and it's not structured too well. Well, one, I could probably go to this committee and present my referendum idea, in which I would get a lot of feedback that it's probably not very strong and shouldn't go to the student union to waste individuals' time. But if for some reason I have a really strong backing behind it, you know, and I provide budget lines and exactly what I'm doing with that money and it got approved, well, the referendum review and implementation committee would be there to ensure that the mandate that I've set and that my budget that I've set, you know, I'm meeting those requirements. And I'm constantly being monitored that I'm doing the right thing and I'm doing what students voted for and why they voted yes.
And the other issue would be compliance itself, compliance with the Ministry of Training, Colleges and Universities Operating Funding Distribution Manual, Section 5.2, which specifies non-tuition-based ancillary fees. So that is the essential premise of both your USA paper and perhaps this committee. Is there a crossover or tie-in between those things, specifically on not is it a good fee or a bad fee? Is it compliant? I think is the essential question that I would be raising.
Yeah, it's funny. I've never really thought of that as a tie-in, but again, when we're sitting here discussing it, it absolutely is. I'm writing an ancillary fees paper that looks over all the university ancillary fees, ensuring that they're there for the right reasons. And then within our student union, we will be putting in a referendum review and implementation committee. That potentially right there is a recommendation to put towards all other universities and schools within Ontario too, which I think it would be really, really cool. And in a way then really get individual schools and individual student councils to police themselves as well.
A rusty hole in the floor of your 87 Plymouth. Not so safe for driving, but great for the kidney. A nasty leak in the brake line of your 92 Malibu. Bad for stopping, but great for the kidney. Your old vehicle has some life in it yet. In fact, it could help save lives. Donate your used vehicle to the Kidney Car Program to fight kidney disease. The Kidney Foundation will provide you with a fair market value tax receipt and tow away your old vehicle. Be a kidney car donor. Call 1-866-788-CARS.
Space for organizations on campus has been an issue. But what are the progressive steps being taken moving forward to try to resolve some of these things?
Yeah, it's tough. Right now, the university operates at capacity. Every single room is at full capacity and booked from 8 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. So right now, again, it's in camera confidential ideas, but on a Board of Trustees level, there has been ways generated that will free up hopefully some space. And then from an executive and student union standpoint, you know, it's going to be trying to advocate to get space, to find space for our clubs, for the Brock Sexual Support Center. Student Justice Center was having a hard time finding space, and we were able to implement them into our collaboratorium, which was our food bank last year and was 2 years ago our second convenience store on campus. So now the Student Justice Center has legitimate space, and we're going to – it's a thing on my list to do, always trying to advocate and find space for an important space, you know, for – for the Brock Sexual Support Center, but for other clubs and for other groups within Brock as well.
Have you been to the York University Student Union? I mean, I've been there, and there's on the ground level, there's the fast food, and then there's three floors and perhaps almost 150, well, maybe I'm over-exaggerating, but dozens of offices for nearly every club. They have office space. I guess the question really is, what are the steps being made towards a new building? This is something that it's been talked about. I know Dowd talked about it in his campaign and in his walking and talking with Dowd on Brock TV. I know that it's been a priority in the past. How much of a priority is a new building, and where would it be? What would it be like? Where are we at with this new building?
Well, first off, I don't think you're too far off. There might be 150 offices there. York University is pretty big, 40,000 students. So I've been and I have seen that their campus there as well. Where we are right now is, and I'm sure our president Cooper can speak to this a lot as well, but we're in planning stages. So we have space secured. Yesterday we were at breakfast with Dr. Jack Lightstone. He's ensured us that at Weather Station Field, that space is secured for whenever we would like to start constructing a new student union building, that will be there. But we want to make sure that what we put into the student union building outside of space, anything else that we add in there is beneficial to Brock students and is what Brock students want. So we are planning some focus groups to talk to students and to find out, hey, do you want A, B, and C, or leave it open-ended? And they can tell us if they want D and E. I mean, student union buildings have ranged from, it does escape me right now what student union building has it, but they have a slide in their building. UBC has a really unique student union building in that they run kind of mini vendor fairs throughout their entire student union building all year long for clubs. They legitimately have club space in the hallways for specific clubs all year. You know, I think that's really cool. I know when Dowd ran for president, he had in his platform putting a BUSU run grocery store inside of the student union building, which if that is very cheap and helps save money and it is local and is cheaper than the competitors around the area of where we're located, I think that's a great idea too. If Village students want to come and buy groceries, but we have to make sure that this is what students want, and we have to run focus groups right now and really find out what issues and what needs there are, because when we go to build this, I mean, it's pretty much final at that point. So,
how involved is your position in Brock off campus? And for example, if students living off campus find themselves perhaps not being treated with the amount of respect that they deserve, is BUSU an organization that can field those sort of complaints? And if so, what's that process like?
Yeah, absolutely. We can. I know my predecessor, Steve Nichols, was really big on working with off-campus and student housing conditions. One of the things I'm looking at this year, too, is we have a really renowned system at Brock that not a lot of other universities have in terms of our off-campus services that we offer, where students can go and they can issue complaints, and we will try and advocate on behalf of them. So I'm looking to do some work with Curtis Gadula, who is in charge of running off campus. He's the off campus manager there as well. Absolutely, if there are issues that, you know, don't necessarily face our students outside of tuition, outside of education, you know. So right now on an provincial level, what we're doing with USA is we're starting to build towards implementation for a new campaign called OSAP Cribs. So it's kind of like MTV Cribs, where if you've seen athletes though, or performers will show off their $4 or $5 million homes, not $4 or $5 homes. That wouldn't be too interesting, but $4 or $5 million homes. And what we're looking at right now is that OSAP allocates for roughly just over $500 per month per rent. So in St. Catharines, average rent is around $425. So that is livable still. But in other areas in Ontario, you know, $500, you might need a little bit more. The idea is to get a television crew in there, such as a Brock TV, show student housing off and show student housing conditions off. And in a local aspect of things, even though OSAP $500 does roughly pay for living arrangements here, perhaps the living arrangements aren't really of high quality. So if students want to come out and they want to discuss their living arrangements and show off some of their bad conditions, I mean, that already speaks to me needing to advocate on behalf of better living arrangements. So again, if there are student issues that individuals face in housing, as I have too, and I think a lot of my friends have, there's avenues that I want to take to try and better things there and through this program within USA, but also through just contacting me too and with the work that I'll be looking to do with our off-campus department as well.
How can we contact you, and what should the focus be when people need to reach out to the VPUA?
First off, focus is if there's any need or there's any issue, and whether it be on an educational aspect of things, off-campus living, any mental health aspect as well, any issue students face, come talk to myself, contact the executive team. Pretty easy to get a hold of. My number, obviously, the school extension is 905-688-5550. My extension is 4198. Obviously, what's more in these days is Facebook and Twitter. So I've had students Facebook me before, and I'll always get back to them right away. I think that's one of the most important things. Roland Erman, R-O-L-A-N-D-E-R-M-A-N. Same thing for my Twitter. It's at Roland Erman, as well as emailing me at vpua@busu.net. Nobody should hesitate to contact me.
Thanks so much for coming in, Roland.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.